I decided to go to Columbine High School to talk about school safety through mental health. I set up a meeting with one of the guidance counselors there. Her name is Noelle Sedano. So as soon as I get out of my car, this guy walks up to me.
Did I park in an okay place?
You parked great. Okay. We just like to contact people that we don't always recognize at the school.
So I checked in and then made my way to the counseling office.
Are you Lee?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Noelle. Nice to meet you. Need like 2 minutes to talk to this.
A couple minutes later, Noelle tells me about her job. There's the usual stuff, like helping kids with college applications, scheduling, resolving conflicts between teachers and students. But one of the biggest issues she deals with?
Anxiety is huge.
A recent study by the Pew Research Center confirms this. High levels of depression and anxiety reported by teens. Noelle also deals with issues related to suicide, which is a growing problem in Colorado. These are common issues today, but Columbine is a school with an uncommon past. Noelle shows me around.
So this
smells like a cafeteria.
And the weight room is over there.
Which is to say, Columbine looks and smells like any other high school. Blue lockers, long fluorescent overhead lights, kids carrying trombones and gym bags. There are memories, and some parts of the school have changed.
Down here, there's a new library here.
There's a plaque with 13 names on it.
This library is dedicated to the victims.
And do you feel that there could be any connection between there having been a shooting here 20 years ago and worries about shootings now?
I really don't hear a lot of that connection.
Some kids do worry, she says, but it's not something she's dealing with all the time. And 20 years ago, it wasn't a big worry either.
So for me personally, I don't really bring it up unless I am having a really heavy conversation with a kid that's talking about grief and loss.
Noelle was a student herself at Columbine when the shooting happened. She's one of a handful of students from 20 years ago who now work at the school.
So I was a sophomore, and when everything started happening, I was in my math class.
And the usual hallway noise?
It turned from, like, flirting screams to, like, terrified screams. And my teacher, she tried to kind of keep lecturing through it, and then she stopped, and I could see her face just went white.
Noelle made her way out.
And it was just hundreds of kids just pouring out of the building, running down that hallway and out the side door. So I went with a group of probably about 30, maybe 40 kids. We ran to another student's house, and kids were like scattered throughout the neighborhood. They were knocking on strangers' doors and asking to hide in their homes.
Eventually, they got word to go to an elementary school.
So that's where we got connected to our parents. You couldn't leave unless a parent came to pick you up. I'd never seen my dad look so shaken. He hugged me so tight, I had to tell him to let go because I couldn't breathe. I remember on that day hearing someone say, like, as everything was unfolding, I remember someone said to me, there are kids in our school with guns. And I refused to believe it until I saw something on the news. It just seemed so completely impossible. That's a representation of the general thinking at that time.
Given what you went through, why did you decide to come back to Columbine High School as a professional?
I think that, again, it just felt like a calling to me. And I think, too, that it helps me to reclaim some of the emotions that I have towards Columbine. Because now I can say that this is a place of community and love and health and joy. And when I finished high school, it didn't necessarily feel that way.
Mental health care in schools has changed since Columbine. A task force put together by Colorado's governor back then recommended all sorts of things. Anonymous tip lines, bullying prevention, threat assessment teams, and a lot of that has been put in place. States and districts around the country are making their own changes. Last year, Virginia and New York became the first two states to pass laws requiring mental health education in schools.
I do think that there's a lot more conversation about things to look for and red flags. Unfortunately, I think a lot of those things have been learned from what happened at Columbine.
So what sort of impact are these changes having? I talked to Sarah Goodrum about that.
I'm the department chair in criminology and criminal justice at the University of Northern Colorado.
Earlier in the day, she had testified at the state legislature about what the state has learned about school safety over the past 20 years.
I think for a while, there was the perception that schools are built to provide education, that they're not built to provide mental health or social support services. I think that philosophy has changed a lot since Columbine.
She explains why mental health services are an important part of violence prevention with a metaphor.
We talk about the metaphor of the iceberg in a lot of our work on school violence.
The kids who become school shooters, they're the tip of the iceberg, the worst case scenario.
We want to work on moving our efforts more toward prevention, so that we can get at the underlying root causes of violence.
Instead, the types of incidents and struggles that are much more common than shootings, that's the rest of the iceberg.
Bullying, physical fights, suicidal ideation, self-harm. We know that there's pain.
Goodrum emphasizes that there is a lot more work to do on the issue, but what her iceberg metaphor also means is that some of the programs that were put in place after Columbine have gone way beyond stopping the next school shooter and have actually ended up impacting all sorts of kids. For example, Safe to Tell, a phone number, a website, an app where you can anonymously report a concern or a threat. It started in Colorado back in 2004. Wyoming has since adopted it, and similar programs are in place in several states, including Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Nevada.
Lee Patterson.
Guy Grace is the director of security at Littleton Public Schools, and he's one of the people who actually fields these Safe to Tells. He gets the alerts throughout the school day, middle of the night, weekends, holidays.
On my phone, and I look at it, and I start sending it out to the law enforcement and the mental health officials in our school district. There's always somebody on duty 24/7, 365.
During last year's school year, 16,000 tips came in statewide through Safe to Tell. The most common are suicide threats, followed by drugs and bullying. Guns, threats, school attacks, those are less common.
Some of those kids actually were in the process of overdosing or maybe cutting or doing something to themselves that was very dangerous.
According to the state, around 7% of Safe to Tells are bogus. And if you're thinking, well, the system probably doesn't always work, it doesn't. Guy Grace and the other first responders don't always get there in time. Once, he got a report of a picture on social media showing a kid with a gun in an elementary school. They didn't know if he was suicidal.
I was mowing my lawn, and I had a can of gasoline, and I'm speeding up to that school, and that gas can flips over in the back of my truck and it's just leaking everywhere. But I remember going, we got to get there. I hope, you know.
He hoped they'd get there in time. They didn't. He says the boy died.
And sad thing is you see all that, but you did everything you could. But you get there and you were hoping that you could have stopped it, or those things weigh on you.
Still, Guy is an evangelist for Safe to Tell. He says he sleeps better, knowing he's doing what he can. Now, for all this talk about mental health, Littleton Public Schools has some serious physical security. Guy and I talked at the district's Security Operations Center. Over 100 video screens, security cameras, audio feeds, an automatic background check system to screen for sex offenders. Here's how Guy reconciles all of it.
When we look at physical security and putting that technology in there, it's kind of like the last resort. So when I look about mental health, it's wonderful to see now that we are trying to get on that to where we're trying to stop a school shooting or a suicide or bullying or whatever that hazard is related to mental health before it blows up into something bigger.
Guy Grace, the director of security at Littleton Public Schools, and Noelle Sedano, the guidance counselor at Columbine High School, have two very different jobs on paper. But they come to pretty similar conclusions on mental health care in schools.
I think this year in particular, in my own grief process of still processing what happened on April 20th, I think I'm feeling more of a calling to really be mindful of this mental health problem. I guess I'm like an eternal optimist. I want to think that if there's something we can do preventative, that we can always find this path of redemption or positivity or growth or I guess, contributions that each of these kids can make to our community and our society.
A lot has changed since Columbine, including in the movement pushing for gun control. Tomorrow, we'll hear from activists working towards change. Lee Patterson, KUNC.